Aoife, good morning.
Good morning, Neil. How are you?
Having said that, you say my interpretations are very wrong and extremely offensive. Please explain.
Well, what you did say there, and you said it quite clearly, was that a woman's place is in the home, chained into her kitchen. Isn't that what you said? Is that how you interpreted it, Niall?
Are you saying that that's what I believe?
No, I'm not. No, but that's what you did say. And that's what made me text in to you, because I, as a mother in the home, I would love to spend all day changed to my kitchen sink. I haven't got that luxury. I'm extremely busy. I'm very seldom in my home. For a stay-at-home mother, I'm on the road all the time meeting my children's demands. And that's why I'm going to be voting no anyway in this upcoming referendum. In both referenda, I'd be voting no.
I hope for a moment you don't think that that would be my understanding of what women should do, as in stay at home, chained to the kitchen sink. I'm saying that the wording as it stands would seem to be very much out of date with society we're living in now, in which the family is founded, protected against attack, that marriage is the only institution in town, and that mothers, you know, should not be obliged out of necessity to engage in labour to the neglect of their duties in the home, when there are many women who are working. Now, I understand that for an awful lot, it's out of absolute necessity. But is this the modern society that we want people to, our sons and our daughters, to be brought up in? That's all I'm asking. I'm only challenging, that's all.
I understand that completely. No, this is something that we should be striving towards, Neil. We should be striving towards a healthy society, a content society, and relieve as much stress and burden from families as possible. And that's what this article says in 41.1 and 41.2. There's not putting anybody out by having this article there. In fact, what it does, it just reiterates that commonly and normally it would be the woman in the home that's going to be at home. It is generally.
But then I heard at the weekend many saying that even that is changing, and it's insulting not to recognise that in some cases it's the man is in the home.
Yes, that is the case. I think it's in 20,000 men or something choose now.
Okay,
but still, 250,000, that's a quarter of a million women are represented in that article and acknowledged in that article. And to delete that is to delete their acknowledgement and delete their represented, how they are represented in our Irish Constitution. It's a very small article, but it does hold a lot of weight. It does hold. It gives me acknowledgement. It says, I have a right. Now, I'm not going to say we don't have a very nice lifestyle at home. You know, we live a very humble life here. I've got 9 children. My youngest is just born at Christmas. My eldest is 19. You know, we work very hard. My husband works really hard, and he has done.
Well, you would have to with 9 children, wouldn't you? Because the demands on the family budget
well,
must
you
be
would.
Enormous.
Well, you would. But I could very easily as well, Niall, say that I am being forced out of the home. This isn't the first attack on motherhood as well. We might remember that Charlie McCreevy brought in tax individualisation there, you know, not that long ago, which was the first attack on single income households.
That's interesting. That's the first time I've heard that this morning, an attack on motherhood.
It isn't an attack on motherhood, an attack on single income households, if you don't want to put it just on mothers, if you want to say it's for fathers as well. This is attacking, that was the first attack on a single income household.
But did that part of the Constitution ever kind of in any way make you uncomfortable, where it said the state shall therefore endeavour to ensure that mothers shall not be obliged by economic necessity to engage in labour to the neglect of their duties in the home? You never found that in any way condescending or a put down or
No, I really find that motherhood is superior to all other jobs. It's a massive job and a massive undertaking and something that we don't go into very lightly. And when I got married to my husband, it was a huge big deal. You know, it was an issue. I was pregnant with our eldest child, and it wasn't something we took very lightly. You know, we couldn't afford to keep me at home. So what we did, we had to do massive cutbacks. We got rid of our house, and we've been renting ever since. Now, that's a huge sacrifice. We'll never have our own home, I don't think, Niall, at this stage. You know, my husband has never been out of employment. He has a governmental job. He's senior in his governmental job. Mm. And we can't get a mortgage because we're a single-income household with a large family. Now, so I could easily stand back and say, okay, well, this hasn't represented me because it is going to force me out. If I went out and I got a little part-time job, we'd have a mortgage, no problem.
Well, that did concern me, that these words that were originally written, possibly written with the best intentions of the time, didn't actually deliver on the promise in any way, shape or form.
That
a mother shall not be obliged by economic, etc., etc. They were just words, really, empty words.
Well, I'm sure at the time they weren't empty words, because my father had a very humble job and my mother has a lovely home in Drumcondra. Do you know that I would love to live beside her and be able to support her in her old age now?
They will ensure that mothers shall not, etc., etc. But they never did ensure, because here we are in 2024, out of economic necessity and absolute financial need, having to go to work.
Yes, and I agree with you completely. So then what we have to do is get them to withhold that. We need to put that to the government and say, hold on a second, I didn't realise, and an awful lot of people didn't even realise this article was in the Constitution until very recently. And now they're up in arms saying, hold on a second, we were always protected and we were never offered anything. In fact, they took more from us when Charlie McCreevy introduced that tax individualisation against single income households. So it was very anti-family, very anti-mother since then. Now, what they could do is they could uphold that and they could, you know, bring that to light and say, okay, well, we need to do more for families. But instead, we're going to let them completely off the hook, delete it. Let's get rid of it.
Very briefly, Aoife, because of time constraints, where are you then with the family amendment that changes, I suppose, the fundamental unit up until now being primarily marriage?
Well, I think now, like all of you, first of all, I want to say how happy I am that the majority of your callers and your speakers have been noticed. It's very reassuring for me because I didn't realise that we were so vocal about this. I haven't been out, sure you can appreciate, I'm very busy at home, so I don't get to mix that much.
Yeah, it's interesting, but, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Interesting,
and I'm delighted to hear that. But if you look at durable relationship, what is a durable relationship? I know I'm repeating what all of your previous speakers have been saying, but I have friends who are cohabiting. They've chosen to cohabit because they don't want to be in a committed, lifelong relationship. They don't want that piece of paper that defines them as a married couple. They've chose not to be, not to marry in even a civil registry office or a civil. They've chosen all of that because they don't want that. Mm. Now, where do they stand? They're being forced into this durable relationship, something that they never signed up to, and something that they never consented to.
But you know, Aoife, that's not actually 100% true, because the change would say that the state recognises the family, whether founded on marriage or other durable relationships.
But what's this durable relationship? You're either a marriage or you're in a durable relationship. What happened to the single person who chose and is quite content and happy to be single in her family home or his family home with the children? They never signed up to it. They don't want to be married. They chose to cohabit. Are they now in a durable relationship?
They are, yes.
Now their legal term. But they never consented to that. They don't want to be in a durable relationship. They want to be a cohabiting couple with freedom to come and go as they please. You know, please God, they will stay together for the sake of their family mortgage and everything else. But they never signed up to be in this institution. They never signed up. They never asked to be in a durable relationship. And now they've been lumped into this little pocket here now of you're equal to marriage. They didn't want that. They didn't want to be equal to marriage. They wanted to cohabit. If they wanted to be equal to marriage, they would have gotten married. If they wanted to be in a civil partnership or...
And what would be the unintended consequences of the wording durable relationship? Is it that it would have to be decided by the courts?
What's the legality?
Yeah.
See, everything, you can't say that. You can't put something before them and then say, oh, well, we'll decide that later. We're not voting on something that they're going to decide later in the courts. What we're voting is to remove something that works very well and is written in stone and gives acknowledgement and recognition to families, marriage, mothers and children and all these, you know, units that we strive to work towards for the better of society. Mm. Removing that.
Okay.
There's no need to remove it. We not only is there no need to remove it, but we're spending €20 million to remove it. Which is bonkers. At a time where people are struggling, I have a child, you know, with scoliosis, I have a child with severe allergies. You know, I'm not complaining about them. They're blessings, and I don't look for handouts for anybody. But we don't. When you look at the waiting list and where that money could be spent, and then to throw it away, it's actually a terrible insult to every man, woman, and child that pays taxes, every child that's paying their 15 cents tax on these ridiculous new plastic bottles, yeah. and every woman that buys a pair of shoes for a child, you know, stay-at-home mother, every man that works, every God-given hour to provide for his family, everybody is being affected by this because it's our taxes that are spending €20 million on this ridiculous, nonsensical amendment that there is no need for and that won't change anything.
Okay, appreciate that. As always, thank you, Aoife.